Hey everybody, this is Jordan. Episode 7 is brought to you by our friends over at Liftbridge Brewing and Swanee's Golf. Golf should be fun. This week we talk with Minnesota Wild fan favorite and now one of our favorites, Mr. Nate Prosser. He spent some time in the NHL, talked to him about life after the league and what it's like playing golf with some of the best athletes in the world. We laughed the entire time. Enjoy.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
Hello, hello, hello. Jordan, Andy, Tony, Johnny, and our guest, Mr. Nate Prosser, in the studio tonight. Nate, what do you think of our intro?
That is unreal. I loved it. I loved it. That John Daly little bit is gold.
It's nice.
Yeah. Right? Oh, man.
I paid way too much for it.
Did like you? I was going to ask.
Is it's so is that worth paid? It. Yeah. It was a cameo.
Nice.
I'm exposing our podcast now.
Yeah. Don't do that.
That's okay. Yeah. I like to, I feel like that needs to be a bit now. Like when we cue the intro, I ask people what they think of it because it's a nice icebreaker and people love it.
It's amazing what just a few dollars will get you for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, money buys everything.
He did like two videos for us. One of them was so bad. Like, he clearly was just going through the motions.
Yeah. And I said this on
reading off the script.
I said it on the Chad Hartman episode, dude. I got the notification that he finished it at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. No way.
Dude, he like,
there's some cocktails.
I have a video of it. I'll show it to you after because we just used the audio. I'll show you the video.
Oh man,
it's pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie.
That's awesome.
Thanks for making your way in. I know that you've got a podcast. You're a busy dude. Four daughters.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. You're probably a little busy. So thank you. Yeah. For making some
time. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on with you guys. I don't know what episode number we're on, but I'm excited.
We don't know either. Yeah. Oh, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Great. Great.
It could be the next one. It could be like I don't know, 10, 11, 12. We've recorded a couple just to give ourselves a little buffer because we're new to this you know what it's like
you got the
podcast with Luke, let's see, so we met at Briggs 2 years ago. Me and my partner played with you and Luke, and I mean I'm just gonna say it, like, you and I hit it off, man. We were boys out there.
We were
boys out there at Briggs. We were playing games.
It was a good time.
Having a good time.
You like gambling, and I love that.
Yeah,
love
we
that
were about, gambling after the round, just, you know, in the clubhouse on
That's
on
what
sports.
Golf trips are all about. Like, honestly, like, that's why I like to go on them. Strictly, like, we need golf games. We need to be sweating on hole 16 over a putt. We need to,
dude,
we need
you,
the guy
you don't
shaking
give
his
putts
knees.
Either. You don't give putts at, like, if you play with Bross.
And the later holes.
I honestly think though this is part of being an athlete. Like, the competition is really what drives me. Like, I you being a former hockey player, and you know, Andy was a baseball player. I played college football, and just the competition is really what's amazing, and that's what's awesome about golf.
Yeah,
when we get to this age, is that we can still have a little competition, and you can make your boy sweat over a putt.
It's the only competition I've left in my life.
Right,
legit. Like, I'm playing Barbie dolls with my four daughters. Like, legit. All I just want a little bit of, like, give me a
little bit of juice.
Yeah. A little something.
So how many, like, how many trips do you still go on? Like, one or two? I imagine it's gonna be kind of hard.
It was really hard when I was playing. I went on four last year. I haven't gone on any yet this year.
Well, it's January. Well, it's
also January.
Last year. No, yeah. I mean, last winter.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I went to Vegas. I went to Blue Jack. I went to Pebble.
Wow.
Pebble. To Dude, Pebble. Pebble was my
Who'd
favorite
Who'd you go
course.
Out there with?
It was like a father-son trip. Oh, yeah. I'm wearing the coat. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. With Papa. Yeah, we did well. He won it the year before with my brother. He took my brother and, you know, just kind of switched it up and said, hey,
he switched it up after the win?
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And
yeah.
How did you guys do?
We took fourth right out of placement.
Okay.
So like top three got a little something.
Yeah.
The prizes weren't the greatest, but dude, like every hole I had my phone out on the fairways, just like everything was picturesque. Everything was like exactly the way you see it on TV. Like, you know, every hole.
Yeah.
And then just like, even like one and two aren't like crazy nice, but just looking up and seeing the homes and like knowing who's in those homes and how much they are. And then looking over at the ocean and waves crashing in, and then, you know, just the rock formations.
Yeah. Jamie Rue came on a couple weeks ago and he maintains it's his favorite course. That might've changed, 'cause he just played another big one.
Where'd he play?
He played
that one right up there in the yellow.
Played down in Augusta.
Augusta Rational.
Yeah.
I think last Monday. I mean,
that's definitely everyone's bucket, right?
Yeah.
Top.
Yeah. That's.
Have you guys watched the Masters at all?
Oh yeah, every year.
No, do you go? Have you ever been?
Oh no, never. Jordan has.
Oh yeah.
Oh, sweet. I got to walk it once. It was it was like top 5 day. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Like. The words that I use are like, when I stepped onto the grounds, it legitimately took my breath away. Like, it feels like a fake place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only way I can describe it. Yeah. I don't know if it's just the aura of like watching it and loving what the Masters is, or is it the fact that like, it's almost a little bit eerie where you don't hear like birds, like you don't see, there's like not a lot of animals around there. Like, everything's almost a little too perfect, and it's like, is this a real place? Am I in a simulation right now? Like, which we might be, who knows?
The Truman Show, you're like watching yourself watch the
I don't know how true this is, just one of the people we went with said, I think for every fan there's like 6 or 7 employees, like people that work there, and so the service, the lines, everything is just an unbelievable experience.
There's not like one piece of trash on the ground.
No,
like,
dude,
not a piece of gum.
It's like,
and that hurt. Isn't it super cheap for like a beer?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, beers were like $1 or $2. Pimento cheese sandwich is like $1.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's crazy. Nothing was discounted in the merch shop, by the way.
Yeah.
I went into the pro shop or the flag? Merch. Enough.
Yeah.
But I got it there, which is really cool to say. No, Augusta's unreal. I mean, if anybody here ever got to play it, I would love to talk. Yeah, it has to be at the top. So
I know my dad is like, not to bring him up, but he's played so many courses, and that's the one like he hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's played LA Country Club,
mm-hmm.
Monterey Peninsula, mm-hmm. Pine Valley, mm-hmm. like, I mean, all the big,
the big
top
big ones.
I mean, literally we go on Golf Digest and see the top 100. He's played like, it was something stupid.
Like 80 of them, bro.
Something like that. Yeah. Seriously.
Wow.
And Augusta's like the one that he hasn't.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if he's quite as like over the top bucket list
mm-hmm.
to do it. I don't know, but I think it still is. But
yeah,
it definitely is for me.
Not to pump your dad's tires too much, but he might hit it farther than any other 60-plus-year-old.
Seriously. Well, man, I just played in a tournament with him. He got to play the up tees because
of his age.
Wow.
Unfair. That's unfair.
It seriously is messed up.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Like, I mean, he still pumps it probably 320, 330.
Yeah. I mean, he's just such a large man, like a big body.
Yeah.
They call him the silverback, and he literally looks like a mm-hmm. big gorilla.
Yeah. My old man like pipes it too. He's like mid to late 60s and he hits it every bit of three
really?
Bills.
That's how I want to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We should get our old mans to square off.
Seriously.
One day, you know what I mean? Just see what happens.
Yeah. is his rest of his game really good?
Like, yeah. He's like a +1.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's nails.
Yeah. He's really
so
good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
What's your dad?
I think he says a 4.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I wouldn't play
I
him.
Like he's
I would
bad.
Not
yeah,
play
it
him.
Sounds
I
like
would not play him as a 4.
No. Yeah, no.
Especially if he's on the up tees. Yeah. Do you know what are you at nowadays? Chance. We ask all our guests what their index or their low. Do you know what your low handicap index is?
9.8. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I just cracked single digits.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good zone, because like you're getting a lot of pops in events.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting enough pops to make bird. Like, you know, if you play really good, like you go kind of deep.
Yeah. And I can string together some like
you can. You know,
some pars.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever shot in the 70s. I think my low is an 80.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of my wheelhouse. I'm kind of up and down. Like, maybe I'll shoot an 82 on you, but maybe I'll shoot a 93 on you.
Yeah.
You know,
like, that's awesome.
You know. And yours is really just off the, like, everything else is pretty good, but off the tee, I feel like is where I remember you struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, when you were hitting it, like, you know, down the fairway or even in the rough, like you were making pars. And yeah. I'm like, Nate, you got to stop making pars on me, man, because you're bumping, you're bumping on these holes and you are just taking my money right now.
We came down to like hole 17 or 18.
Yeah, we
like
did.
How close of a match we had.
And remember, this is where you didn't give me that putt. Yeah. That's why I remember this. And like, I just, I kind of walked up and I kind of looked at him and he looked at me. Yeah, I looked at him. He looked at me.
He didn't sleep right for weeks.
And I, it wasn't a tap in, but it was like, you know, 3 feet. Yeah. And then,
well, and did you miss it?
No, I made it. Oh, yeah. And Nate kind of did one of those. I wasn't giving it to him. Yeah. And he kind of looked around. And I was like,
he gave me a look when he pulled it out of the hole too. Like F off. Type of, yeah. You know?
That's what makes it great though.
Yeah.
Nate,
yeah.
I got to ask you. So I grew up in Washington, D.C. So I didn't grow up in Minnesota. Came here for other reasons. I've been here, you know, 13 years. And hockey was not big where I grew up. You know, we played baseball.
Yeah.
Big basketball area, big football area too. And so the hockey exposure in Minnesota has been like wild, just getting to see it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we have a neighbor who moved here from out of state, and they have a 5-year-old daughter. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to get her into hockey. And you know, she'd never been on skates, right? So they sign her up for hockey and they show up and the coaches are like, you guys are like a little late. Like this might, like this might not work. Like she's five. Like
she probably got on the ice and like other 5-year-olds are like doing crossover.
Oh yeah. And so I didn't even realize this, like kids are on skates when they're like one.
Yeah.
Like, was that true for you? Like you grew up on skates.
100%.
Basically.
As soon as I could walk, I had a pair of skates.
Really?
And pushing around a chair.
Did dad play? Is that why?
Yeah, my dad and older brother. I have a brother that's 3 years older than me.
Wow.
Like you said, and just kind of followed those guys around. They both played. And I remember growing up and I think we were in Anoka right when I was born and we were going to, I mean, there's outdoor rinks in every city.
Yeah.
And like, these winters are so dang long. What else are you gonna do?
What else are you gonna do? Yeah.
Right? I mean, either sled, ski, or skate.
Yeah. And in Minnesota, or basketball. Yeah. Every single kid plays hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey here is, I mean, we're basically Canada.
Mm-hmm.
As far, you know, when I was going to Canada, like every kid played hockey. It has the same kind of feel. Like my street growing up, every kid played street hockey in the summers and outdoor rinks and, you know, for the association in the winters.
My fun stat is that we're actually north of Toronto. I don't know if I've said that before, but
now were you
north of Toronto, Canada here.
Yeah.
Were you always really good growing up or because I read your Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And in your Wikipedia page, it says something about like Nate hit a growth spurt his junior year in high school. Yeah.
Who put that in there? Like how did it like, yeah, I went through
but
puberty.
Is that,
yeah,
so
I
got armpit hair. So it's funny because my best friend growing up, was always like really good at baseball, but he was little, but he had like nasty actions, you know, and because he was little, he actually got better because he had to learn how to basically be good at and not being little.
Yeah.
His junior in high school, he hit a growth spurt, ended up being the number 2 pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Wow. Yeah. Was the number 1 prospect in baseball forever. He had major shoulder issues. His name is Danny Holson.
Okay.
But I grew up and was like 6 feet when I was like 4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was hitting bombs in Little League, dominating everyone. And then I hit like junior year in high school and I like apexed, you know what I mean? And then it was like, but you don't really learn, you know, if you're physically overpowering, like you don't learn the nuances. And so what are your thoughts? Like, what was your experience like?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was kind of like that little guy.
Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of the top teams. I mean, here in Minnesota, like the AAA teams are huge. And I never, the Blades was everything. Mm-hmm. All the top kids wanted to play there. I never got a sniff there.
What year were you? 86?
86. Yep. So like, you know, Jack Hillen and Blake Wheeler.
Yeah. Jack's our boy at Winsong.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Jack played hockey.
Yeah, he played in the NHL.
Yes, he played in the NHL.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, no way.
Dude. Yeah.
Why would I know that?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
That's unreal. I didn't know that.
But yeah, I mean, kind of that similar story where, I don't know, everyone develops at a different spot in their life. Yeah, so like when parents are freaking out because their kid made B1 peewees, it's like,
right, chill out.
Hold your horses here. Yeah. Like, I mean, let's let this kid figure out life here a little bit. And
he's five.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't even write his own name yet.
I know. Yeah, yeah. So like, right. He can hardly wipe his own butt. Yeah. Like literally has stains still in his butt crack.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crap. But no, I was late to go through puberty. Like I was 5'2" in ninth grade. And, you know, my dad, like, feared for my life when we'd go, like, to out-of-town tournaments. Like, we'd
just
go
getting
up to,
rocked.
Yeah, yeah, I was getting rocked. Literally, like.
Once they took the stop sign off your back, right? Dude, like, they take that stop sign off and you're just getting
I just got
leveled.
Eaten. Just eaten. Like, I mean, we'd go up to, like, Brandon, Manitoba. And, I mean, these kids are eating steak and potatoes at the age of four.
Yeah.
And these kids are shaving their beards at, you know, 11 years old. Like, I was just, like, just some little puny runt. And, but I think. As soon as I hit that growth spurt, I, you know, just physically got faster, stronger, better shot. But I think the what really drove me to get to the level I was at is I had that inner drive. Like, I, you know, just not making a lot of those teams, I eventually started to see, like, okay, like, I'm not far off, but I have to work double what all these guys are working. So if all the blades are shooting 100 pucks a day, I needed to shoot 200 pucks a day. And if for some reason, like, my dad didn't even need to tell me that. I just had that drive. Like, I'm gonna go work my bag off in the and off the ice. I'm going to do sprints because everyone tells me I'm too slow. Well, literally, I was out at Elk River track by myself doing plyometrics and sprints.
Yeah.
And,
you know, just a gamer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just, I don't know why.
Do you think you just had that? Like, do you think that was just, that was just something you had? Or did you, like, develop that?
Man, getting cut from a bunch of like select teams, maybe that kind of put it in me. I specifically remember there's a big select tournament up in St. Cloud for 15-year-olds, 16-year-old, and 17-year-old. So select 15s, select 16s, select 17s. Didn't make 15s, didn't make 16s, 17s. I finally hit that spurt, and I'm like, all right, now's my time. Like, I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna make this team. I it was like the final cut, and I remember driving home like basically in tears with my dad. And that was kind of like the fork in the road for me.
Wow.
Like, he's just like, Nate, like, I'm super proud of you. If you want to just play Elk River High School and be done and go to Bethel University and be a student, 100% proud of you, fine with that. Or you go the other way and let this fire, you know, put a fire in your belly and never know where it's
going. You went
the
other way?
Yeah.
Is that when you decided to go to Sioux Falls or?
Yep. Yep. Went to Sioux Falls halfway through my senior year. And that was probably the hardest decision of my life, honestly. Is, you know, I was still a kid. Like, I was the baby of the family. I was the third of three. And I didn't make a decision my whole life.
Yeah. Like, and now you have to go, like, do your own laundry.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Like, figure out how to put gas in your car
or
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. It was all that. Like,
and then try to make it playing hockey.
Yeah.
Which
a
lot of people do and a lot of people don't.
In a small, like, farm town like Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Like, I mean, I'm like,
and this is when the USHL was pretty fresh in Sioux Falls, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I mean, they're just, it's not, like, as big as it is now. It's now it's one of the top draws in the USHL.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, they built a new rink, and they get, I think they lead the attendance in the league, and I think they do very well. They've won a few times, but those years were definitely, whenever anyone asks, like, what the biggest jump for me was, it was high school to the USHL. How crazy is that? Like,
that's crazy.
I mean, of all, you know, minors,
going to the
NHL,
league, whatever,
college
yeah.
to pro, USHL to WCHA. Like, dude, like, college, or I mean, high school, when I was in Elk River, like, everything was so comfortable. Like, you know, practices are easy. You're playing with all your buddies you grew up with. It's just kind of carefree. Not saying I didn't work hard, but then, like, going to the USHL, getting dropped off, parents driving away, you know, have to get to the rink on time. People are getting paid for their jobs. I remember the first time my coach called me in for like an individual meeting, and I was like pissing my pants. I'm like, I'm 17 years old, like hardly shaving my face. Like, this guy's getting paid. Like, he needs to like get everything out of me to like perform. All of a sudden there's
like, if you guys don't win, he might lose his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's trades, there's video. Like, we never watched video in high school. All of a sudden we're watching, you know, video sessions, and I'm like, just a kind of just a little runt in the back of the room. Like, man, like, scared out of my ass. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, this is nuts.
But you, I mean, to your upbringing, you experienced that before, like when you were a little kid on the ice, getting beat up a little bit. So you kind of learned to like deal with that.
Yeah.
And overcome it a little bit. Right.
And yeah. Then, yeah. 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 Kind of. Yeah. And I don't know. I think
But you're also at 17. Like, you're still in your growth spurt. Like, you're also playing against guys that are like 20, 21 years old.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, and that was the other
no
scary
joke.
Part.
These
like,
are
when
adults.
Right when I walked in the locker room, like, the first couple guys I saw were, you know, built like men. Like, yeah. Jim McKenzie yeah. was my captain. He's like a Woodbury kid. And he was a full-on man.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking
some
about.
Some of the dudes in the league now are 18, 19.
I know.
And you know, scoring
oh my gosh.
30 goals.
When guys were getting in the league with the Wild and I was like talking to them, like, as like 20-year-olds, like Jonas Brodin, I'm like, I could hardly skate backwards at 20.
Yeah.
You guys are, you know, jumping in the NHL. Like, yeah. I mean, I needed every step of the way before I finally got my crack at 24 and, you know, made my, you know, eventually stayed in at 25. And like, that's kind of late. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays it's like you said, it's 20, 21, 22. Yeah. And that's when your golden opportunity, but I needed every step.
So you played here in Minnesota for how many years?
8 years. Yeah.
Man, 8 years
super,
in the league.
Super fortunate.
Wow.
I mean, kind of
and then,
lucky.
And then St.
I mean,
Louis?
And St. Louis a couple times. I signed there twice. And then Philadelphia.
To finish up.
Years to finish. And
with Yo?
Yeah, with Yo. Every uh-huh. Dude, every.
Followed Yo?
I followed him everywhere. Him and Chuck Fletcher.
Oh, because he went to St. Louis.
St. Louis. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like.
There you go.
You got a guy that believes in you.
Exactly. And I needed that. Like, I was always signed as, like, the number seven defenseman, depth defenseman, league minimum kind of guy, kind of a pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
But I just embraced that role. And I think he knew what I was going to bring on and off the ice each and every day, each and every game. Like, I might sit out for – there was times where I sat out 3 or 4 weeks, and then they expected me to get in and play against the Avalanche and Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog and – you know, perform. And yeah.
Rough
so,
him up a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, I always was able to, you know, get in and not miss a beat and
do your job.
Yeah, do my job and you know, help the team have success. And then when I didn't play, like, coaches don't want to have guys mopey or bitching or being negative.
They don't
want
to babysit guys.
And your teammates don't. Like, imagine Ryan Suter and Jared Spurgeon hearing me moping and complaining, like, oh, I'm in the press box again, or, you know, I'm only playing 10 minutes. Like, I deserve more minutes than that. Like, no. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, and
like,
by the way.
That would have got me in Russia so fast.
And by the way,
seriously, I would have been playing the KHL, like, so much
sooner. 100%. And by the way, you're also living your childhood dream. You're playing in the NHL. So.
For your local
hometown freaking team. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I had 40 or 50 people at every game.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I played 350 games for the Wild, I'll say. And literally at 350 games, my dad and mom were at every single one. And my brother and my sister were at every single one. My wife and my kids were based at every single one. Like, I mean, and then this buddies. And I couldn't get my hands on enough tickets. I mean.
Yeah.
What was the first time you threw on the jersey like?
Nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Do you remember it, like, vividly?
I wasn't supposed to make it.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was, like, freaking couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Like, legit. It was nuts. Like, So I lost at CC my senior year up in Duluth, and instead of flying back to Colorado Springs with my team, my family...
You went to Colorado College.
Yeah, Colorado College, yeah. Okay. Yep. And, you know, we can talk more about that later or whatever, but where was I going? So we lost, and instead of flying back to Colorado Springs, my family advisor said, drive down to the Twin Cities with me. I got some interest in you. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Like, am I going to go play in the East Coast Hockey League or the American Hockey League in someone's playoffs? Or
am I going down to Houston?
Yeah,
to play
what's
for
the deal? What's
the
deal?
Wild or whatever?
Yeah. And because I was undrafted, I had probably 5 or 6 teams that were interested. I had a good senior year and good junior year at Colorado College. And where was I going? Sorry.
You were saying you weren't supposed to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we just went over like depth charts and Minnesota was one of the 6, and I'm like, kind of no brainer. Let's just try to, you know, tell them to keep me up in the NHL for the last month and a half of the season. And they're like, yep, we'll agree to that. Just we're not going to guarantee you any games, but we're going to let you meet the players, you know, practice with the team, meet the staff, meet the coaches, you know, that type of deal. Just kind of, you know, get into the pro hockey world the right way. And just so happened, like, 3 defensemen got hurt for the last 3 games of the year. And
were you drafted?
Undrafted.
So how long ago was this after your last college hockey game?
My first game?
Yeah.
It's probably 3-4 weeks.
Wow.
I know.
That's crazy.
That's what they do in the NHL, that's nuts, yeah, right?
Yeah, like, that's like unheard of in open baseball and other sports.
I know. Yeah.
You don't go.
I was old. Yeah. You know, I was 24 sure. years old. So like.
So you wrapped up at Colorado College and you're in the show 3 weeks later.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My first game. So my coach comes up to me at morning skate in Edmonton. He's like, "Pross, you ready to go?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "You're in tonight." I'm like, "What?
In what? I'm in what?"
I know. What are you talking about? Yeah, yeah. I'll meet at the bus. Yeah, yeah. Or I'll meet in the press box. Like, I'll be there.
The press box. Yeah, that's where exactly, you get the name, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
The podcast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I just remember leading up to that game, I texted everyone in my phone book, called a bunch of people, and I didn't even realize there was an international plan at that time. My bill that month was like $1,500 or something. Some kind of crap. I'm like, "Oh my gosh." Like, just kind of stupid.
And I need that first paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Where's the per diem envelope? Yeah, I don't know if that'll cover it. But yeah, I remember throwing on the jersey and being in that locker room, just looking across at like Koivu and Burnett and just guys like, you know, I grew up kind of watching them. You know, yeah. They came in 2000. That was kind of, you know, I was in high school range. I remember going down to some games with my dad and brother and stuff like that. But, just complete dream come true, and just what an opportunity, you know, for me to get on the radar there at the end of that season, and then, the rest kind of happened.
So, you know, throughout your time in the NHL, you spent every summer here, regardless of whether you were with the Wild or with any other team, right?
Yeah.
So you're practicing with, I mean, you're in doing the beauty league thing, and doing all these things,
and that's pretty new too. So it's kind of like the last couple of years of my career.
Okay. So are you at this time, just to bring the ship back to center here, are you playing golf?
I am.
Are you doing that thing?
Yep.
Or are you doing the family thing?
Yep. No, I love golf. I mean, it's definitely a family thing too. I've had daughters the last, you know, my oldest is 10. So for the past decade, I've, you know, had, you know, a little baby around basically. So, but, you know, I love hockey. And our off seasons, like I always told everyone, we play for the 1st and the 15th in our summers.
Yeah.
You know, the two paychecks and then, you know, our summers. And,
yeah.
You know, how nice is our off season is the summer where, you know, golf and good weather and lakes. And so, I mean, everyone comes to Minnesota for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not only the training, but, you know, great, great summers.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of the NHLers they're good sticks,
yeah.
Like a golf. I mean, like all the guys, whether in the NHL or like even Reg, like he's a decent little stick.
Yeah,
like
well, he Jack, can play golf. Jack won our club championship.
Jack's really good.
Yeah, he's Jack so Killen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Along the way, we would, you know, play before the season, and sometimes we get a chance like when we
early would, in the season or something.
Yeah, yeah, early. Or we, you know, I remember playing in Arizona a couple times when we got there a couple days early, maybe, and me and Dubnyk and Eric Halla and like Justin Fontaine or something. Those are the kind of remember those guys playing a lot. And for some reason it's pretty natural motion for a lot of hockey
Translates
players.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my drives are basically look like a slap shot. Like that's why they suck probably. But
split hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Just trying to like, I don't know, Happy Gilmore that thing out there. Yeah. Or something. I don't know. Kind of dumb. But
who's the best? Who's couple like the best NHLers that you played with at golf? So I imagine you've played with a decent amount of guys like in the off season, especially all the people that come here to Minnesota. Like,
I mean, the one that sticks out in my mind is Eric Halla. Another one, I mean, I just said his name was Justin Fontaine.
That are good players, you're saying?
They're good players, yeah.
You ever played with Oshie? I've heard Oshie's really good.
I played with TJ a few times.
I went up to his I watched his, he's got a good swing. I went up to his War Road tournament, and I mean, talk about like a celebrity up there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I bet. Like Captain America.
They're
right?
Following him on the course. I mean, the city shut down to like, he was like a, really? He was like Tiger Woods walking the course.
They have every summer, they have a celebrity golf tournament that, and it's, I mean, it's 90% hockey guys.
Yeah.
There's a couple guys that maybe played baseball or something, but
it's a
huge deal. Like, do you go up there and do like the whole fishing thing the day before?
I didn't get a chance the one time I went. But you know, taking like the Marvin plane up there, they make it super accessible.
For super easy.
Yeah, yeah. So they do a really good job of it. They good tournament. I mean, the course is, you know, average, as good as it can be in War Road, Minnesota.
Right.
But it's good time.
What, so I have a question for you based on what you described about your career. We have, events at our club where, we have teams, like team events, like we have the McKenzie Cup and there's other stuff that's going on. Every year we have something called the rodeo, which is like, under 50s versus over 50s. And there's 12 guys. And, one of the things I'm really into is, and this is one of my favorite terms, locker room guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think makes a good locker room guy? Like, what do you think characteristics of like great teammates when you're in the NHL? And
if you can't get, if you haven't figured out by now, Andy's like top notch locker room guy. Yeah.
He might be the top.
Andy is like being a locker room guy. Locker room guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Big into locker room guy.
I mean, I think it's a guy that obviously puts the team first. Yeah. Brings the boys together. Super funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of guys like that. I mean, the hockey locker room is pretty dang cool. Like a lot of guys come from the same upbringing. Yeah. So it's a lot of humble and good dudes.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Houston, to Minnesota, to Iowa, to, St. Louis, to Allentown, to Philadelphia. I mean, I was in a lot of locker rooms and literally all of them are pretty dang similar.
Yeah.
Just like, there's a couple alphas. Uh-huh. They're the leaders and they run the ship, but for the most part there's not a ton of clicks.
Yeah.
Like, and that's huge.
Yeah.
And
there's probably not a lot of like dickheads.
No, not a ton. NHL. I mean, maybe I ran across a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, but not many.
They stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. And like I said, dude, like those guys, I mean, they get traded 10 times and then they end up in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Yeah.
You know,
so right. In the KHL.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
They might be Russian.
Yeah, they could be.
I've heard some crazy stories about the KHL, like just from Bessie and Reggie, like about buddies they had that went over there. I mean, it's.
We had an episode on the Prospects Box actually with Casey Wellman. He played here with the Wild for a little bit, and then he went over to Sochi and Moscow, and he told a couple of stories that were literally like a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's something like stuff you never believe.
Like cash in a briefcase for their paychecks. Yeah. Well, like that. They're not even checked.
They don't do direct deposit, so they needed to go like across town to get cash. And I don't know if like the bank was shutting down, they needed to bring it to a different bank, and they put all the money on the desk, and they're like, "What are we supposed to do with this? Like, do you have a bag or a briefcase?" The lady dumps out like her Chipotle bag. Brown bag, throws in a brown bag, and literally like the whole way they're like, "Man, someone knows about this. We're getting watched." Like they were like ran and jumped into their car, and I mean,
we're not
like,
talking this is $5,000 either. We're talking this is a couple hundred thousand.
Yes,
dollars.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a paycheck for a KHL. Yeah. It's just in a Chipotle bag. I know.
Like literally, they're stuck in traffic, and they're like looking
and
over
then,
their shoulders.
And
like,
then they got to smuggle it.
Our driver could literally text any of his buddies and say, "Hey, there's." You know, $300,000 in the back of my car right now. I'll just come.
I'm gonna pull.
They get in there though, and they can't find it because it's in the Chipotle bag.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of guys like then trying to figure out like how do I get it back into the U.S.
You can't travel with more than $10,000 cash.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like I've also heard stories about guys that you know, right before the game, they get dropped off this briefcase of cash, and they're like, "Oh, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm going out to play. Somebody's going to come in there and steal this. Yeah. This is the plan.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to come and take this.
Yeah, yeah. So they're playing with cash and they're like breezers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
On the ice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh like you can't put that in your shoe or in your pants. Like someone's going through that locker room.
Yeah. You can't leave it in your locker.
Breezers.
Well, because they know. Dude. They know that this is Ma brand and they're going to go out to play. And the team is going to be like, "No, we paid you. Like,
right.
It's your responsibility."
The team will pay you, and then they'll go steal it while you play.
Yeah, exactly.
And say, like, "We paid you."
Yeah.
A little bit easier here in the States, I guess. That's why you got to try and make it to the league.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Direct deposit. It's just all on your phone. You're good. Yeah. All right. So, quick question. Let's see. You may have already mentioned favorite course, probably, like, Pebble. But if you had to pick one course to play and, like, your dream, call it NHL, foursome. Doesn't have to be guys that you've played with, like in the league that you played with in the league. Like, who would your foursome be? Where would you play?
Oh, I'm trying to think of like good personality dudes. I mean,
locker room guys.
Yeah, locker room guys. Exactly. and I don't know if that's like Connor McDavid. It's probably not. You know,
yeah,
like
right.
Although I don't know a whole lot about him, but I would say, I mean, my childhood idol was Chris Pronger. just a big defenseman that like played in all situations, played hard, played gritty. Like I always loved it, like watching him being like, I want to play like that guy.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know. I like playing a little nasty, you mm-hmm. know, like you gotta be able to flip the switch. Like when you get on the ice, like play with grit. And
you
like,
remember the first night at Briggs when you and I were kind of talking, I gave you one of these to get Frost going before our match the next day, and just gave it right back to me. I was like, oh man, I can't poke the bear too much. I grabbed him by his sweater and just gave him a little
That's like a little tell. They're like, okay, you're ready. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. So Pronger.
Another one of my childhood idols was Patrick Waugh, just to, you know, kind of hear some stories.
Yeah.
I don't know. My brother, he's 3 years older. He'd kind of throw me a net in the basement, like kind of force me to play goalie. Like,
yeah.
Classic. Like, yeah. I, even though
knee hawking, he's ripping that ball at you like 200. That thing comes off the stick at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, looking back, it's kind of like, what were we doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm the youngest of five boys, too. So I totally get it, man.
Yeah.
Knee hockey's nails.
Yeah. And then probably the great one. I mean,
Gretzky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rounded out. And then, Chorus. I mean, it's got to be Augusta. Like, that's the bucket. And that's
Gretzky, Pronger, Waugh.
I like the way you, took it. Yeah. Like, some idols and then the top Chorus ever. So then you don't really have to, like, throw any of your boys under the bus and be like, why didn't you pick
me? Nobody's going to be upset that you took Wayne Gretzky at Augusta.
No. Yeah,
that's just how it's going to be. Yeah.
Who was, like, the nastiest guy you squared off against in the league?
Fighting?
Yeah, just in general, just like edgy, nasty, gritty.
Dude, I ended up fighting Derek Dorsett, and he asked me to fight 15 times a game. And I played against some. Like just six.
Like, you want
to
go? You want to go? You want to go all game?
Just like, chirping all day.
All game. Yeah. Like I said, I like playing nasty. So I think I was getting after like the Sedin brothers, and you know, I like getting after like the guys that never get chirped. So like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves, like, dude, I love getting after those guys. Like, at the face-offs, like, I would, you know, look over at Patty Kane and, like, slash him in the skate or something, and, you know, call him a pussy or something. And,
it's okay.
Like,
you can swear on our show.
I didn't know where I could go. He would look over at me, and he would just, like, smile and then, like, you know, look at the back of my jersey being like, who the frick are you? Like,
haven't seen you out here all game.
You can't talk to me. Like, literally, you belong in the press box. Like, I don't know what you're doing out here. So, no, like, I don't know. I had some good chirps with, like, guys like that. And even, like, Drew Doughty, like, I don't know, some good chirping. But, like, back to Dorsett, I eventually fought him because I think he, like, elbowed me to the head. And I was in front of our goalie. And I'm just like, all right, frick. Like, screw this. Like, we're going. And we squared off. And we both kind of just exchanged. And the refs were like, you guys ready to end it? And like, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm done.
And this guy was like, no way. Like, smiling. Like, just enjoying it. Like,
he loved it. He just loved fighting.
He's right in his wheelhouse. Like, he's the most comfy fighter, I think, ever, of all time. Dude, I'm
comfy
just like,
fighter. That's a great expression.
This guy, like,
didn't want to skate. Just wanted to fight.
He wanted to eat some knuckles, and then he wanted to freaking like just. Like, he was like right. It was like home to him. Like yes, like I'm right where I want to
be. He's not even looking. He's just
roll guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely going to steal that expression. Like, that guy's a comfy fighter.
I feel like you don't want to fight those guys. Yeah. You know, like
I feel like Bugsy was a comfy fighter, probably.
Yeah, he was tough. He was tough. Like, I mean. It wasn't like his first job. Like he was a skilled player too for a long time.
Yeah, he's a scorer.
He scored a lot of points. And dude, it's like I'm sure it's Reeves and like Marcus Foligno and Tom Wilson, like the guys that like do it a bunch and like that are like it just come natural. They do boxing lessons. They know how far away from the person is and like, you know, like how to, you know, get in and get tight or chalk. Like, dude, those are the guys he's kind of just. Stay away.
hockey has kind of gone away from that a little bit.
It definitely has. Yeah. Which kind of sucks a little bit. Like, I miss the days of like the hatred of like the Avs and Detroit Red Wings. You know, when like
great 30 for 30. I think it was 30. Well,
that's so good. Like goalies squaring off and like Sakic and Yzerman leaning over the benches, like screaming at each other. Like it was like a full war.
Yeah,
well, that's because half of them are coming back to Minnesota and playing golf in the summer.
Yeah, I know. It's the beauty league out there.
Do you think it's like analytics and stuff that I mean? Because I don't know what I've heard. What little I've heard is just like the value of having a guy who isn't productive, isn't as much in a world where we're looking at analytics.
I think that definitely comes into play. Yeah. And then, you know, just the game has shifted ever since, like, I don't know, the new CBA kind of, like, took away, like, clutching and grabbing and, you know, really cross-checking guys in front. Like, you watch Chris Pronger. Watch that guy when in front of his net. Dude, he just laid lumber the entire time. Like, like, if your back wasn't bruised, he wasn't satisfied.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put, like, four Sherwood names in your back, you know, like, and before you get out of here. Like, and I think just that's what the fans wanted. They wanted power plays. They wanted scoring. They wanted skill. They wanted speed. And it's the game is so dang fast right now. Yeah. Like, just watching some of these guys and.
I mean, defensemen have went from being 6'4". Monsters to smaller guys who can skate really, really well.
100%. 100%. I mean, like the days of GMs wanting 6'2", 6'4", 220 are gone. I mean, they're drafting, you know, the Jonas Brodin's, Jared Spurgeon's, the Cale Makars, the Quinn Hughes. Like, guys
that hands.
Are, dude, like fast. When Jared Spurgeon got called up, he was still in that kind of that old era of like big defensemen. Like, he looked like everyone's little brother.
Yeah.
Like, he was the first. Like, kind of my first friend when I got to Houston, and I'm like, dude, who's the little brother came into the locker room?
Yeah.
Like he didn't he didn't have a whisker on his face. Like, he's,
you know, I think he still doesn't.
I know. Like, he always grows kind of a dirt stash every now and then. But what an unbelievable player. Like, I mean, he does everything well, and that's what so many guys do now. I mean, like, dude, Cale Makar is out of this planet. Like, there's so many guys, even, like, towards the end of my career, like, there was a handful of guys on every team that needed a new league. Like, they were that good, that skilled, that fast. That, like, Patrick Kane is three plays ahead of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm just trying to think, okay, where's my winger? I'm just going to give it to my winger. Like, this guy's like, he knows where his centerman is. He knows where who's going back door. He knows a defenseman is out in the far slot. Like, I mean, this guy is like,
There's
so many guys like that are just like on a different.
Yeah, we had Chad Hartman. I wasn't here, but listened to it. Chad Hartman on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about like in how golf he had calculated that there was like 13 levels between him and like the highest, you know, the best professionals, and he was like a +2 handicap as an amateur, right? Because it's like there's an elite. There's I'm an amateur. Then there's like. Amateurs that are like competing in state AMs every year. Then there's the ones that are winning.
Yeah.
Then there's like
college kids.
College
and there's
kids.
Like elite college kids. And then there's like Dakota's Tour player.
Yeah.
And then there's PGA Tour Canada. And then there's
Q
you
School.
Know, Q School. Yeah.
Did you guys see the thing on Rahm today? Jon Rahm, who just won the tourney.
I did see this. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah. So some guy basically put together what his handicap would be. I don't know if they even keep. Handicapped at that level. Yeah, for his last 20 rounds, they took 8 of the last 20. Yeah. And he would be a +13.5.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Think about
that.
Dude.
Like, if he went and played at Windsong, he would have to shoot 15, 16 under to shoot his handicap.
Holy crap.
Imagine
getting all those bumps.
One or
I
two
know, that's
over.
What I'm saying. As a scratch, he's giving you 13 pops.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I feel like I could take Jon Rahm.
Did you see this debate? I'd be getting like
15 or 16 pops.
Yeah.
That was the debate, was if you played Jon Rahm at that handicap at your club, could you beat him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a 9, you'd probably be getting like 20...
Because it's a bell curve. Like, you don't just get that.
Yeah, it accelerates.
It accelerates.
Yeah, it does.
I played with a guy named Donald Constable. And he played.
Minnesota guy. He's elite
unbelievable.
AM. Yeah, amazing. He's won
he
the
played
state
like
AM.
12 PGA events.
Yeah.
And I think he went 0-for-12 on making cuts.
Yeah, left-handed guy?
I don't know.
I think he's a lefty.
I can't remember, but
really
just
good
so
he was a +4 or +5.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, you gotta give me 14 shots, which is stupid to think about. But he's like, no, I have to give you like 17.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what? He's like, oh yeah, the bell curve. I'm like, I never heard of it until he started explaining to me. He's like, yeah, it screws us.
Yeah,
like
it completely screws totally
us.
Screws.
If you're
you.
A plus handicap, it actually makes it exponentially worse.
exponentially worse.
I had no idea.
What's the bell curve? Because I'm not
well. So if you're like a 9, you know, you're really like a coarse 11 or 12,
sure.
Depending on the tees you're playing. If you're a +13, you're a +13.
Well, yeah. So like,
I see.
So So you have to give those 13 back plus
the extra
plus Nate's getting 11 off of a 0. So he'd be getting 24 shots.
Right.
Yeah.
Against John Rahm in that scenario.
Yeah.
And like, honest to God, you'd probably bet on John Rahm still.
100%. 100%.
You know? I don't know, man. 100%. I don't know. Based on what Nate says, he's pretty gritty, man.
Yeah. You know? Throw a little money on the line. Let's go.
Let's try to set that up.
John Rahm would for sure make all the three footers.
Yeah.
Unlike me, like I'm good for missing a couple.
I guess around. I don't know why I got into that. A lot of my buddies like playing a game called Three Jack. Have you guys ever played
Snake?
Snake.
Let's tell the audience what Snake is. I don't know if they'll know.
Yeah, you guys.
I think everybody that's listening will know, but we might as well just share it.
Yeah. Tony keeps saying this.
You describe it because you have the radio voice.
thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, the basis of it is just three putts in a round, right? So if we play dollar three putts or dollar snakes, so if the four of us are playing and throughout the round, it is, you know, there's maybe 11 three putts or something between the four of us. So whoever has the snake last, so you might only have, Nate might only have one three putt for the entire round, but if it's on the 18th hole, you then owe everybody that number.
The classic dump
of
truck.
Of snakes. Yeah, so like.
Whatever the monetary
value. So like
value
I might have five or six on the front and get out of it because Nate, you know, is trying to make a birdie on the last to win a big bet against Andy, but then he three putts.
Yeah. Snake's always a fun game to play because, like, no matter what your level, like, everybody eventually gets on the green and everybody putts. And even, like, people that, you know, quote unquote, aren't very good at golf can putt. Like, Sydney and I have gone out and she can barely get the ball off the ground, but she gets on the green, like, she can putt. You know, everybody can putt a golf ball.
One of our buddies tried to negotiate getting shots in Snake because he's like, I'm the worst putter.
I should be
getting pops in Snake. Yeah. It was the most absurd take of all time.
I mean, when the
good on him for trying.
When the price gets kind of big, like my buddies all start like,
yeah, if you're playing like
you're 160 out and they're hitting like a 9 iron, so they're like trying to leave it a little short.
Yeah,
and
so you're chipping
it close.
That's so soft.
Yeah,
that's
it's horrible,
soft.
Dude. It's horrible. Yeah. It kind of pisses me off.
Or you're just off the edge of the green and you chip it. And it's like a 5 footer.
Yeah,
like come on.
Depending on who you're playing it with, I mean, if you're playing for a higher denomination per snake, I mean, you have to pay everybody else in your group. So yeah. So if it's 10 snakes and it's five or a snake, I mean, it's 50 bucks a guy. It's 150 bucks.
Yeah.
It can play for more than that too. So
another thing I don't like is when I play with like a super, I have some buddies that are high handicaps, like 20 and stuff. And I say no bumps on par threes. Everyone's butt naked.
Yeah. I love that.
I agree.
You know, like totally I just,
it's fair.
Like everyone can hit a 155 yard par three shot.
Yeah.
Don't need one shot here. Yeah.
So so this is another area where a plus handicap kind of gets a shaft. So if you're like a plus two, like Jack Reister, if he's playing straight up and he has to give shots back on a par three, like if they're the highest handicap, so
he's got,
you know,
birdie.
It's a par three and he has to birdie just to tie somebody who makes
190 yard shot over water. He's got to get a two.
Yeah. That's whack.
Yeah. Okay.
It's brutal. Well, we're definitely going to play next year.
Yeah. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
We'll get a fivesome together out at Windsong. It's crazy how fast like 45, 50 minutes goes by.
Yeah.
So appreciate you coming in.
It's been fun, man. Thanks for having me on.
Make sure for all of our listeners, go listen to the Prost Box. You guys are on all the major podcasts, right?
Yeah, wherever you can get your podcasts.
Yeah. I've listened to a couple episodes. They're awesome. I love to hear you guys talk about hockey. And Luke knows his stuff, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he grew up and played. He played Division III at Bethel. And then,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got knowledge. And, you know, we started the idea of, like, we've talked about, you know, me specifically is, like, kind of the transition from, you know, being an athlete to, you know, what's the next?
The rest of us.
Yeah.
You're one of us, man.
What's being a working stiff like? You know, and it's hard.
Sucks.
It's hard for everybody.
It really sucks, man. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't.
That's why
even,
we play golf.
It doesn't even like just apply to only like athletes to real world. It can be like if a car mechanic was working as a car mechanic for 2 decades. And that's their identity, and that's
right.
That's,
they're changing.
They
careers.
Know everything, and they change to a salesperson of medical devices. Like, dude, that transition's hard. That doesn't just happen. Like,
right.
So, like, that's kind of
the
whole idea of it. Just kind of hearing what all my old teammates are up to, and you know, finance or coaching or player development or firefighter, whatever it is, like just kind of hearing like
that's awesome
that's
what
really
the transition
cool.
was like, because it's hard for everybody.
Oh yeah
like I've had a lot of buddies struggle with it, and just hearing them out.
It's good you have an outlet for it, and now you got a little bit more time. I guess during the NHL season to go on some golf trips, so maybe we'll have to plan something again and go play. And appreciate you coming on. And wow, is that our alarm? Is that
that's
it?
That ends it.
Wow. John, yes, that's it.
Nate Prosser, ladies and gentlemen, really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much.